everything I wanted. And I had a grill in my backyard, and I was headed back there. I had a big old oak tree over here, and I had just 5 pounds of hamburger and just as lost as I could be. I said, man, I'm gonna sacrifice this to the Lord. Now, you may think that's stupid, but for a lost guy, I mean, I was like, man, I mean, that's what they did in that thing. They sacrificed. So I'll sacrifice. I said, oh, he don't want hamburger. It was probably 27%, whatever. He probably didn't want that. It had to be like Angus ground beef or something. I don't know. But I mean, I can see the Lord now back in heaven laughing at that, going, look at this moron. That kid, he actually thinks that I'm looking at him. He actually thinks that. And he goes, Michael, come here. Michael, Gabriel, come here. Look at this guy. He actually thinks we're thinking about him. Do you realize he does that? He's sitting in heaven tonight watching everything we do. And he gave us some of the most precious stuff that you could. Take your Bibles, go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Brother, I'm 36. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And he gave me this about 2 weeks ago when Brother Reagan asked me to preach. Pastor called me and asked me. I was going to turn him down because really I'm happy where I'm at. I get chewed out quite frequently because I let people preach a lot. But I like young preachers get an opportunity to preach and get comfortable behind a pulpit and not afraid to preach, not afraid to tell somebody. The Lord always let me do that stuff, and I mean, that's what he trained me for the 48 years prior to me starting the church. I had the privilege of doing a lot of stuff that most people never get a chance to in life, and I just never thought nothing about it until you sit back one day and you start thinking what the Lord has actually done in your life and what he's given you and what is yet to come. Brethren, we got some stuff. 36:1. There's a story here, King Hezekiah, and it says, I'll read the first couple of verses here, and down to verse 4, it says, Now it came to pass in the 14th year of Hezekiah, that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them, and the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which is over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah. Father, thank you for your blessings tonight. Lord, thank you for a book. Lord, what a book. What a book. Lord, what a God you are. What a Lord and Savior. Lord, all the songs that up to this point have been sung about you tonight. And Lord, you do deserve the honor and the glory because all things were created for you. Lord, help us tonight to worship you. Lord, help us to see where we sit in this world and, Lord, what we have to offer this world. This world needs something and needs it bad. And Lord, you've given it to us tonight, Lord, and it's in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, I just want to thank you for just a privilege of being able to stand in the pulpit tonight and just say a few things about you. And Father, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to first thank you for the room, everything. I mean, it's a blessing. I hear preachers say it all the time. I'm like, yeah, oh, I get to be one of them one day. And sure, you do. One day, if you hang in there long enough, somebody will let you preach for them. I said, that's pretty cool, man. This is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. You ever thought about just being able to talk about Jesus Christ? He does some of the craziest things, man. You know what? I said, Rabshakeh, this last verse here says, verse 4 says, and Rabshakeh said, I am sick of Rabshakeh. I don't know about you, but I'm just fed up to here with Rabshakeh telling me what I can and can't do. God's a great God, man. And I think a lot of times what we have done is we have let this world dictate to us what. Now, I am not telling you to take up arms. Don't even think I'm even going there. I'm telling you we have a source that we can go to on a 24/7 basis that whatever happens in this world shouldn't affect us one bit. I mean, you ought to have a smile on your face. I got to go Monday. They're going to yank his tooth out right here. It's broke. It's broke up here in the top, right up in here. And they said there's no cure for it. But these are two crowns on my front. I broke them when I was a little bitty kid. And so anyways, they're going to yank this one out. And this nurse come in and said, well, we got to replace both of them. I said, okay. She goes, how about letting us whiten your teeth while we're at it? I'm like, a Joel Osteen smile. I'm going to get it, man. She said, yeah, we'll whiten all your other teeth, and then we'll put the crowns and match them. And I'm thinking I'll get this little LED and stick it in my mouth, and then I'll have a little switch in my pocket, and I'll go, Brother, have you ever thought about, I'm serious, have you ever thought about, here's Rabshakeh, he comes up to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah is the king of Israel, and Israel's trying to do the best they can, and they're up and down, and all through your Bible, when you pick this thing up and you start reading it, every story, every line in this book is laid out in such a way that God is trying to show you that he is God and that he can do anything. I like the story where Sarah was sitting there 90 years old, and the Lord said, you're going to have a baby, and he goes, is anything too hard for the Lord? See, that's where my mind sets. I told him Wednesday night at church, I said, I am sick of everybody saying, don't. I haven't got time for the don'ts. There is way too many do's. Do. You know what God wants to do with us? He wants to do something with us. Everyone in this room, this isn't a name and a claim and message. I'm just telling you, God wants to do something. But the only way you're ever going to get that way is to go through some Rabshakehs. This guy come up to him and starts ridiculing the people on the wall. If you notice these three men in the story here, the story starts with the king of Israel, which is Hezekiah, and then you got the king of Assyria sending Rabshakeh in, then you got Rabshakeh, then you got the servants of the king, which Tartan, Rabaris, man, what's some names? Rabshakeh. Who would name their kids that? I have no idea. And then you go to the king of Israel, and he has his servants there, Elkiam, Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah. And he says, look, he said, talk to us in the Syrian language because we understand it. He goes, no, this is for everybody. You know what everybody needs? Everybody needs a dose of God is what we need. You need that yourself, each and every one of us. This has been a crazy year. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it has been insane. I've been around for 63 years, and I've seen some crazy stuff, but I haven't seen anything like this. I mean, the mask, I don't have a problem with masks, believe me. If I go into Home Depot, and me and my wife was in there the other day, and I didn't put one on, and this lady came up from Home Depot and made us put one on, and she was pleasant with it, and she gave me this little kitty mask, and it would go like from my nose to my ear. And I tried to stretch it around. I finally got it stretched, and my ears were out like this. And she was making fun of me, and my wife was making fun of me, and I was making fun of me. So much so, she offered me a regular mask. And I said, no, I've already got this one on. I don't want to take it off. It might hurt somebody. Bring! Snap out and get them. But you look at the people on the planet, and everybody is wearing a mask now. They were just told to do something, and they do it. You know what? This world has got to the place where I'm afraid that it's going to start telling us that, hey, man, well, you know what I think we ought to do? Maybe we ought to just go see and ask the Lord something in our lives sometime, individually, and say, Lord, I'm not saying don't wear a mask. Don't get me. I'm not even going there. I'm trying to say that God is sitting here, and Rabshakeh is trying to scare these people into submission, and what these people haven't done yet is gone to the Lord. That's all you have to do. My Christian walk is so simple. I was talking to Doc the other day about it. I said, brother, when I got saved, the first thing that preacher gave me was a New American Standard. He took my Bible away, 1980, and gave me a New American Standard. I did not read that Bible for almost 4 years. It didn't talk. It seemed that little white one that I found talked all over the place to me. It just talked and talked and talked and talked. And I was like, yeah, man, that's good, that's good, that's good. Yep, that's good, that's good. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the way. I was Catholic. I didn't know none of the rest of it. You got an Acts. I'm like, what is Acts, man? I said, what is Romans? I don't know none of that stuff. And Genesis, I could get through part of Genesis and Exodus right where Charleston Heston held the stick out and opened the sea up. I mean, that was cool. I got that part. But after that, I was like, what is the rest of this stuff? And I'd go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've lost the excitement on the Word of God. When I got into Matthew, I would read Jesus, man, healing. I thought he's actually leprosy, man. The people's fingers came back out. I'm like, yeah, could you, man? You know, people look at that stuff and they don't realize who they're dealing with. We're talking about the God of the universe, the God actually outside of the universe. I was watching some of these shows and they show the Hubble telescope out there. I always wanted to be an astronaut because I wanted to go out in space and actually work on the Hubble telescope and all the other stuff that's out there. I never got there. The Lord stopped me from doing that. I could have got there. Don't you think nothing can stop you to do anything God wants you to do? Nothing on this planet can stop you. There is not a planet, there's not a Rabshakeh on this planet that can stop you from serving God. Don't ever let them. Don't ever let them. I'm not saying go out and fight against them. No, if the Navy called me back up today and said, Mike, we're going to bring you. If they did, I'd be really surprised. I went in to get my ID card one time, and the guy goes, "Chief." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "They got a code on your ID card." I'm like, "They do?" He goes, "They could call you up at any minute." I said, "They don't want me." I said, "I'm fat and old." He goes, "Can you shoot twice before you get shot?" I said, "Yeah, I probably could." He goes, "You're in." He goes, that's the only qualifications. I'm like, "Man," I said, "twice. I just got to get two rounds off, and then it's okay to die." Brother, I'm telling you what, I would go in the Navy like that. You say, "Why?" Because that's my duty. I'm telling you, that's what I would do. If we were going to close our church down as soon as this thing all started in Ohio, I don't know how it is up here, but everybody was coming in. "Oh, they told us we had to shut the church down." And I was about ready to do it. My son walked up to me and said, "Dad, that's not what the governor said." I'm like, "Rats, man, rats." I was going to go home and lay on the couch, man. I said, "What did he say?" He goes, and he told me some stuff, and I went and read it. I said, "Yeah, he didn't tell me to shut the church down." I said, "So I guess we'll just keep on going." Then I walked into the fellowship hall, and a husband and wife was sitting there, and they looked up at me and said, "Please don't shut the church down. This is all we got. It's normal." I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to take away from somebody who thinks church is the only normal thing in their life? I'm like, "Yeah, man, let's just keep on going." And it just kept going and going and going. You know what Rabshakeh will do? Rabshakeh will tell you, "You can't do that. You can't do this." Sometimes you need to just check with God and see what God says. And let God give you the answer. You know, as I was going down through this, I watched all these men through here, and piece after piece after piece after piece, I watched the discouragement. I watched it was overwhelming. Could you imagine Hezekiah looking out there, and here's around Jerusalem is a whole army, Sennacherib's armies all around. Assyria was just like Babylon at the time. It was the largest army in the world, probably. And they're off the walls of Israel, off the walls of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah knows they're there. And one of the sad part about it is Hezekiah didn't quite know what to do. And he sits there and he's like, "What do we do?" Verse 7, Rabshakeh looks down here and says, actually verse 6, he says, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed." He's trying to discourage them men and women up there to say, "Hey, give up and just follow suit with us." That's what the devil wants us to do today. I don't think we should do that. I think we ought to go out and do whatever we can for Jesus anytime we can do it. There is nothing better than Jesus. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, never fought with Pilate. He never fought with Herod. He never fought with the scribes. He never did any of that stuff. And he could have. He could have went, and it'd have been over. As a matter of fact, he didn't even have it. He said, "Don't you know I can bring down 12 legions of angels?" He could have brought down 72,000 angels like that. And he could have solved, one angel could have probably wiped the whole planet out. Took it out. He didn't do that. I hear you, "Gotta have guns, gotta have this." I got guns too. I got bows and arrows, but I mean, what good is a gun gonna do you? I know a guy has got 500 guns in his basement. He brought me over to show me his guns, to brag to me about his guns. I know exactly what he did. Look at my guns. I'm thinking, I'm in the military. I was in the military. I'm not no more, but I know for a fact you can only probably carry two of those. And I would choose a small caliber. Because you can only carry so much ammunition. And if you carry 50 cal ammunition, you ain't going to carry much of that. So I got a 50 cal Smith & Wesson here, barrel this long, and stainless steel. I said, "Yeah, but that's going to last you 6 rounds and you're done." I got a God that will last me my whole life. You know what I had to learn? That Rabshakeh comes to you in your whole life, in different places of your life, and tries to instill fear into you, try to instill that, hey, that the God that you have. I like verse 5-7 here. Rabshakeh says this. He says, "But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God." That's what we say. We tell this world that's what we believe. You know what they really have never got is a good dose of God. That's what this world has never got. They've had all the fake stuff out there, all the stuff that these churches are giving them that is garbage and trash, but they never really had God. You know what we got? We got God. You know what this world needs to see is that in us. I think they should see a smile on our face. I had a guy call me here recently. My church knows about his. I don't know how y'all do this. I'm probably wicked. That's just me. But my phone rang. It rang, and I looked at it. It said Birmingham, Alabama. I'm like, "Oh, says another missionary." and it's going off, and it's just going. I said, "Oh God, it's another missionary. They just want more money. And I got to go tell all these people I need more money." I said, "I'm not going to answer it. I'll get to it later." And this thought went through my head and said, you need to answer that phone. I said, but Lord, they're going to want money. He said, answer the phone. So it quit ringing. I said, I'm done. Praise God. He goes, no, it's callback. I said, okay. So I called the guy back, and it was Dan. And he said, Mike, he goes, are you the pastor of the church? I said, yeah. He said, I was out online, and it says that y'all are a soul-winning, Bible-believing Baptist church. I said, well, I'd like to think we are. He said, my dad lives about 5 minutes from you, and he's lost, and he's died, and he's going to go to hell. And he says, every time I talk to him, we fight like cats and dogs. And he goes, I can't get nowhere with my dad. And he goes, I wish, he said, would you, if you could find some time to go, I said, look, I'll go see him. And so I went over to his house and knocked on the door. He told me, we talked a little bit, I need some information about his dad. Come find out, he's a sailor, man. I said, I'm a sailor. I said, sailors, we're like that, man. We're more like this. I think I just broke your mic. But that's what sailors do, bro. I said, testing, 1, 2. No, I didn't. I'm an ET, too, but I could fix it. You give me a minute. I don't know what I did here. I did something, but I probably did that sailor thing, which I probably shouldn't have done that. But that's okay. I'll get over that. But anyways, I go over and knock on his door, and he didn't come to the door. He was on the toilet, he said. he wasn't in good shape in any way, any shape, form, fashion. So I left the greatest story ever told in his door, and I drove off. And I said, that's done. And that's what most of y'all do, too. Don't tell me you don't do that. And then something got me under conviction. I said, man, I better go back and see him again, because if Dan calls me back and asks me if I went and seen his dad, and I didn't, I said, the Lord's going to smite me. I said, I know what he's going to do. So I go back over on a Sunday, me and Beth, I knock on the door, and he didn't come to the door, so I left some tracks there and got ready to leave, and Beth goes, there he is. And so I go up there, and he's a little skinny guy. His name's Gary, and I sit there and look at him, and I said, Gary, I said, I heard you got some bad news. And he goes, yeah. I said, you know, I'm a sailor too. And I said, we're shipmates. I said, is there anything I can do for you? He said, no. He said, no, Mike. He goes, I can't. There's nothing you can do. I said, and then I told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes, Mike, I've lived a sailor's life. You know what a sailor's life is. I said, yeah, I know what it is. I said, I never lived that. I was saved when I went in. I said, but I know exactly what a sailor's life is. I said, but Gary, God will save you. So he took the tracks and went back in. He said, hey, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more later on down the road. I said, fine, that's good. He didn't have much time left. And the following Saturday, I'm laying on my lazy boy on a Saturday afternoon trying to get some rest, and the phone rings, and Beth picks it up. Now, if you call my house and Beth won't let you talk to me, I'm probably sleeping. She refuses to wake me up. You can blame her for that, not me, but she's a good wife. Anyways, I was sleeping about halfway in and out, and she starts talking to Gary, and he says, hey, I'd like to talk to your husband. And she goes, well, you know, right now he's out of service. She's, however she says that, you know, she was, and he started telling me, he goes, wait, she goes, wait a minute. I'm hearing what's going on. And she goes, no, he has to hear this. And she hands me the phone, and he says, Mike, he said, I trusted Jesus Christ my Savior this morning. I just want to call and let you know. And you could hear it in his voice. I mean, it was, and Dan, his son, was right there with him. And I talked to Dan later, and he passed away, and we got to talk, and Dan said, Mike, he said, I never thought my dad would ever change. But you know what we're really here for is to go to this lost and dying world and tell them about Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know what Rabshakeh says? Oh, you just need to put God off to the side, and he's not your God. He says, we trust in the Lord our God. Is it not he whose high places, who Hezekiah had taken away? You know, this world don't know one thing about us. Hezekiah was doing the exact thing he should. He was getting rid of all the trash out there and bringing it down to an area where this is where God's at. He said, serve here at the temple, right here at the altar. This is the altar you go to. And Rabshakeh, he said, oh, he compared us to all the other religions of the world. We're not the same. We're different. We have something residing in us that nobody else. I mean, there's saved people out there. I believe there's a lot of saved people out there. They just don't know who they have. You got to go through some of the attempts of Rabshakeh to get you to turn away so you can fight that and stand on your own two feet and then say, no, Lord, it's me. Hezekiah sits here in the process of all of this. He goes down into verse 11 and Eliakim, and they all talk to Hezekiah. And down in 14, they actually take the letter, that all the information Rabshakeh says, back to Hezekiah. And they said, look, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do here. What do we do? And it says, thus said King, let not Hezekiah deceive you, verse 14. That's what Rabshakeh said. He said, don't let him deceive you. We sit here night after night, day after day, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night after Sunday night, Wednesday night, telling you that God can do anything in your life that he wants to. That you, that him, and let's get that, you, him and you make a majority. And you can do just about anything. You know what this world is really looking to see? Some Christians that walk up and got a smile on their face. Somebody says, why do you got a smile on your face? Because Jesus loves me, man. I mean, you sit there and say, why does he love me? And then you can start. Well, I told him Wednesday night, I said, I was lost driving down the road one time. I had a 66, I think it's a 66 or 67 Chevy 2 Nova. Had inline six, and the engine was knocking, right ready to blow up. I'm lost. And I'm driving down, I'm getting off of Fern Valley Road. I still remember it, I'll remember it the rest of my life. And I sit there and say, I wish somebody would hit this car and total it. And I get right off the expressway, light's green, I go through the green light, and somebody hit me and totaled my car. And I get out and lay on the hood, and I'm busting out laughing. I mean, I'm just sitting there laughing. I mean, I just asked for that. And I said, I just asked for that. Now, the guy who hit me just got his car out of the body shop, and he had one of these little muscle cars that was all totaled out in the front. And my car was like a junker that should have been in the junkyard to start with. And he just goes, boom, and totals his car out and totals mine out. I got a new car out of that deal. But what I got more than anything else was God answered a prayer from a lost guy. Now, you say he didn't, but boy, I sure thought he did. And I just started thinking, I said, man, there is somebody out there, and maybe I ought to start changing some things in my life. And I tried to start changing some things. And the more I started doing it, people say, oh, well, has Rap Shack ever been in your life? Oh, yeah, he's been there a lot of times, telling me what I can and can't do. I've had people say, you can't do this, and you can't do that. They told me I couldn't start a church in Dayton, Ohio and make it work. That's probably about the worst thing you can ever tell me. Amen. You can't. Don't ever come up to me and tell me you can't do something. Because I'm going to tell you you're out of your mind and you can, and let's go do it. If it makes sense. I need to quote. Brother, I am so tired of my life all the way through there. God's taught me from the day I got saved. He said, 4 years later, he puts a King James Bible back in my hand through a German friend of mine. And Fritz see me try to read that little New American Standard. I was really trying to get right with God. And the book just wasn't saying nothing. It wasn't doing it. I mean, I hadn't put one and one together to get two yet. And the Lord says, I'm going to help you out. So he puts me next to Fritz, and Fritz sees me do that. And Fritz says, Mike, what are you doing? I said, Fritz, I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm on my rack, man, on the ship, looking down the USS Scott. I'm looking at this little red Bible, trying to read it. And it's one of these little dime store Bibles. It's not much. And I'm sitting there reading the thing and reading it and nothing. And Fritz says, Mike, what do you got there? And I said, it's my Bible. He said, let me see it. And he took it and did this. He said, oh, that's not a Bible. I said, it's not. I said, what is? Now, you see, most people would argue, well, you know, my NIV is just as good as your KJV or ESV or any of the rest of them. I never argued at all. I mean, this thing ain't working for me. If it ain't working for me, it's a piece of junk as far as I'm concerned. What is? And he said, a King James 1611. First time I ever heard those words. And I'm like, you got one? He goes, yeah, I got one. I said, can I see it? He said, sure. So he gives me one. And I started reading it. And I started Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all I knew, man. I didn't know about types, and I didn't know about none of that other stuff. I just knew about Jesus. That's all I knew about. That's all I really cared about. You know what's wrong with most of us? We've lost our desire just to know about Jesus. I was sitting there, I did a sermon a couple weeks ago, and here's that little lady throws the two mites in. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, I'm missing something here. I keep missing something. I go through the story. I love this story. I like it. I love it. People, I always say, well, it's money. You're talking about money again. No, I'm not talking about money. Don't care about money. I said, but I'm missing something here. And Jesus has all his disciples around. He says, watch that little lady there. And then the next couple verses after that, they're all wanting to know about the end of time and all this and all this. And all of a sudden I got it. I said, Lord, they don't want to talk about what you want to talk about. They want to talk about what they want to talk about. I said, if they would have just stopped, you were trying to get them to look at that little lady, and then you could have explained the little lady to them, and they would have understood what the little lady was doing. That's what you were talking about. Why don't we get into what you're talking about instead of us? I mean, brother, I like doctrine. I like all that stuff. I like all, man. I like everything in my Bible, Genesis to Revelation. I like it all. But boy, I tell you what I do like more than anything is Jesus. Because I've watched him in the hardest times you'll ever have. You ever had a Rabshakeh in your life? Come up to you and tell you, I'm going to take your kingdom. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to wipe you out. Come and give yourself up to me. We're going to give you something better. That's what he tells them. He says, Beware lest Hezekiah, verse 18, and I'm just getting into the chapter right now, and I'll be done here in just a second, maybe. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver you. Hath any of the gods of the nations? They're not gods. You know what Rabshakeh didn't know? He didn't know God. You know what Hezekiah knew? He knew God. He was just not quite sure what to do yet. Scared. I've been there. We've been scared before. You know what the Lord's done over me 45 years, 40 years? He's just trial after trial after trial after trial after trial. He's made me slow down. And he says, Mike, you just got to wait for me. And sometimes you wait like at the last minute. And at the last minute, I'll walk in the door like the Lone Ranger in Tonto. And I'll take care of your problem at the last minute. But you're going to have to wait. And I said, Lord, okay. He says, because I'm building this thing up, man. It's going to be a crescendo. And when I come in, and you say, well, why would he do that? Because he wants the best for you. And he wants to teach you something how to get. This COVID thing is I'm not going to say it's a joke. My mom's got COVID. She's in Kentucky. I'm in Ohio, so you don't have to worry about me having COVID. Unless you can get it across the phone. So I call her. And I got COVID. But she's been worried about getting COVID like since January. And she don't go nowhere. She locks herself in the house afraid to go out. But she's got COVID. I don't know how she got it. Maybe she got it through Prime, Amazon Prime or something. I don't know. She ordered it. I have no idea how she got it. She just did. That's what the doctors did. Maybe the doctors just got so tired of her saying, I need COVID or I think I got COVID. They finally said, okay, you got it. You got it. Just stay home for 14 days and let's get it over with. So I call her and she said, they told me I have to stay in my house for 14 days. I love my mom, by the way. I call her all the time. Don't think I don't love her. And she goes, I got to stay in the house. My car's in the parking lot or in the driveway, and I can't even go out and put it in the garage. I said, Mom, that's not what they told you. Yes, it is. I said, give me your doctor's number. So she gave me the number. I called them. They talked to me. I said, look, she just got to stay 6 feet away from everybody. I said, okay. I said, can she go out in her driveway and, like, get in her car and put it in the garage? They went, yeah, man. She go out and sit in the backyard for all we care. I said, okay. So I call her. I said, and she told, oh, well. I said, now you going to go put your car in the garage? No, I just don't feel like it. I'm thinking, my mom is a Rabshakeh. Do you ever get discouraged in this life, man? You know what Rabshakeh does? He discourages you. That's what his purpose in life is, to discourage. You know, you should never be discouraged, or try not to be. I know what happens. I get discouraged from time to time. You guys, my wife. But when I sit down, I start thinking about some of the things Jesus Christ has done for me. Whoo, man, all of a sudden I'm like, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I remember that. I remember sitting on the side of a ship sometimes. See, some of y'all married in here. Some of you guys aren't married yet. You'll get married one day. Wait for God. That's all I'm going to tell you. Wait for the Lord, man. You wait for the Lord, you'll get the best thing you ever had in your life. I was sitting there. I'd go to the side of the ship, man, and all these guys would come, and their wives would come and get them off the ship. And they would take them home, and I'd look over the side of the ship four stories up, and I'm on an arm rail, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, Lord, I ain't got nobody. He goes, yeah, it'd be hard for you to get anybody. I'm like, yeah. He goes, but you got me. I said, yeah, man, I do. That's pretty cool. I said, I do got you, man. He said, let's go ahead and fix some gear. I said, yeah. And I'd go back in the ship, and I'd just live in the ship. One day he said, I'm going to give you desires of your heart. And somewhere down the road, I met my wife. And, man, I tell you what, you know the prettiest thing you ever seen in your life is a girl coming down the pier in a long dress, almost down to her ankles, dressed up like she dressed up. I mean, she was a hairdresser back in the day, and I mean, she was sharp. She's still sharp. I don't want anybody to say, I got a wife. But I mean, 27 years old, she would knock your eyeballs out. And I walked down at like this. Eat your heart out, God. You can't. You know what? One day when the Lord finally said, Mike, I'm going to give you desires of your heart, I didn't know what he was saying. And he goes, you've been serving me, and you got in that path, and you've been trying to go down that path, and you've been getting off every now and then, but you get right back on. You know the path you're on, but you got to get on this path and start walking down this thing with me first. Then I'll start adding these other things into your life that you need that'll get you through life. That woman's been with me for 30 years. She's put up with everything with me for 30 years. She's gave me 5 kids. She's in the church more than I'm in the church. We went to stop by the church on the way here today. I had to get some stuff. And she's out there vacuuming the floor. I said, whoa, stop, man. We're just walking in to get something, walking out. She's knocking. Ye-ye-ye-ye. I'm like, are you sick or what? You're worse than I am. You know what that is? That's God. You know, if you stop and let Rabshakeh, what he'll do is he'll start discouraging. He'll cause you not to trust God no more, and you'll start trusting your own feelings and your emotions. And pretty soon they'll overwhelm you, and you'll stop to know. I said, forget him, man. I'm just going to keep my mind. Jesus told me to do this. I know the Lord told me to do this. He told me to start a church 13 years ago, actually 15 years ago, and we did in my garage. I told him, he's nuts. I said, you're nuts. I'm 48 years old. I said, there's better preachers. There's more better Bible students. There's people who know more about everything more than me. I said, you got the wrong guy. He goes, start a church. I'm like, I'll be a missionary. How about that? So I'll go to Croatia. And I get over there and start praying. He goes, well, hey, stupid. If you won't start a church in America, what makes you think you'll start one over here? I'm like, well, that makes common sense, I guess. I'd have to learn Croatian and all the other stuff and how to live over here. And then I have to go ahead and get money. And then I have to do this. I said, okay, I'll start one in my garage. This is what I'll do. You ought to see my garage, man. I got stained glass lights in my garage. I got air conditioned heating in my garage. I had pews in my garage. I told the Lord I want five things. Pews. You know what Rabshakeh will do is tell you no. I knew that I wasn't capable of doing it. I said, I want pews. I want a pulpit. I want a piano. I want a piano player. And I'll be the preacher. I don't know how they all ended up in peas, but they did. It worked out pretty good, man. I said, that'd be a good little message. And that piano player is with me to this day. I found that piano player after I got my pew from a Jew. I said, Lord, I got $100 for a pew, or for a pulpit. $100. I go down to Mendelssohn's, and he's a Jew. And that guy had pulpits there. They were $400 or $500. And I'm like, I ain't got $400 or $500. I got $100. Here's one without a tag on it. I like this one. It's okay. It'll do. It's big. It's exactly what I like, big stuff. So I rolled it down there. I'm thinking he's going to ask $350, $400 for it. He goes, I'll sell it to you for $99.99. I'm like, sold. And then I walk out the door and say, I just beat a Jew out, man. A whole penny, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me beat that Jew. I said, man, am I a Jew? Do I got some Jew blood in me somewhere? I said, because that shouldn't have happened. That should have never happened. People say, why? I just learned that you start thanking God. And I got this. I put that pulpit in the back of my trailer, man. I'm driving down the road. I'm all happy, man. I can see in the rearview mirror. I can see my pulpit back there. And I still haven't got a church yet, but we're going to have a pulpit anyways. And I go, there's a traffic jam on 35. It goes as far as I can see. I'm like, forget that stuff, man. I ain't going down that way. I'll get off here at Steve Whalen Boulevard. And I get off of Steve Whalen. I say, hey, man, Steve Andreg lives right up here on Carlisle. I'll stop up here and show Steve my pulpit right in my trailer, right back there. And so I pull up to his driveway, or actually his road. He lives on the house on the road. And I said, Steve, come here, look at my pulpit, man. I'm out here showing his pulpit. And his wife, Amy, sticks her head out the window, man. I can still see it, man. She sticks her head out the window like this. And she's looking down through there. And I leave, and shortly thereafter, she goes, I can still see her down the side of that red house, man. She goes, Steve, I think we need to go help him. That girl has been playing piano for me for 15 years. He gave me all five of those the day we started church in that garage. And I'm sitting there going, rats, man, I should ask for 10. Maybe 15. I said, five is not enough for him. Should have had more. You see, brother, what I'm telling you is people tell you what you can and can't do, but God says, no, I'm greater. You know what he wants to do? I'm great with us. There is lost souls out there that need to hear the gospel, but they need to hear from somebody like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a concern on their face who cares about the sheep. He cares about the lost sheep. He said, at first, he's the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But boy, the lady come up and says, I'm a dog. I'm like, roof, roof, I am too, man. I'm a dog too. I want to be in too. Can I get in too? He goes, do you really want to? Let me in. I'll eat the crumbs. I'll eat whatever falls off. I'll lick it up off the floor. I don't care if hair's in it. Who cares, man? I'll take whatever you can give me. You know what? When you start looking at Jesus like that, I mean, he starts dumping stuff in your life. You don't have time to worry about all the laws. You know, there's about a billion laws. You can't. This shirt's probably going to send me to hell if I was lost. It's probably got cotton and polyester and probably wool in it. I don't know. My outfit's probably all going to be bad. I don't really care anymore. I look at all this stuff back here and say, Lord, I got 1 John 1. 9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. So when you come across something, get it under the blood and just move on. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, go forward. You know what Hezekiah is learning here? Hezekiah's at a place where the world is caving in on him, and he doesn't know quite what to do. It's like this year. I don't know if you felt it or not, but it feels like the world is just caving.
And I'm like, Lord, how do you get through this thing? It was me. I'm like, that's a novel idea. You. He goes, did I not get you through everything? I said, yeah, man. He said, did I get you through 14 years in the Navy? I said, yeah. He said, did I get you through life before that? I said, yeah. He said, did I get you through Crane Pro Services and EDS and LexisNexis? I said, yeah. He said, did you finally start a church like I told you to, you moron? I said, yeah. He goes, when are you going to trust me? I said, Lord, I thought I've always trusted you. I remember Esther, I told this story 1,000 times. I mean, really what God does, I think he puts things in your life and he brings Rabshakeys in your life to get you to the place that it stops you to think about him. And sometimes it's rough. You're right there in the middle of this thing and you don't know what to do. And you're on a point where you're on a peak and you got to go one way or the other. And it's not like you're cold or hot. It's just that you're at a place where you need to grow just a hair more than where you're at. And the Lord knows that. So he puts this thing or allows something to come in your life to get you to move to that next level. They came and told him this. They told Hezekiah this in 47. It says, and all this assembly shall know. That's what Hezekiah says. Well, wait a minute. Let me get back. Verse 36, 22 says, it says, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Hezekiah, when he heard that, he says, I got to go get Isaiah. I need something. So he sends these guys to Isaiah. And Isaiah comes back and says a few things to him, and he says, I got it. Rabshakeh was trying to discourage the people, the scribes, the recorders, and Hezekiah into just surrendering. Hezekiah says, no, we got a greater God than that. And I'm not going to surrender. I think every story in our Bible, from Adam and Eve, all the way down to Noah, all the way through Moses, through everyone, David, the whole thing, I think every one of them is there to help you get over some things in your life sometimes to get you to the next level. My brothers and sisters in God, in the Lord, in the Old Testament did it, in the New Testament they did it. And the Lord says, Mike, you can do it too. This world cannot get you in a place where, young people, you got a whole life. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Man, I hope he comes back tonight. But he may not. You got a whole life ahead of you, that you can have a blast in this life without worrying about it. All you have to do is put the Lord Jesus Christ. When I went on a ship, the first thing I did was they knew I was a Christian. They knew I was a Christian. I didn't play no games. I was a Christian. Number one, I was a Christian. I had a Navy SEAL walk me off the ship, shake my hand. He said, Mike, he said, you came on this ship a Christian, a Navy SEAL, chief, E7. He said, you came on this ship as a Christian and you left as one. And you didn't let nobody on this stinking ship ever talk you out of it. No way, man. I got Jesus. I mean, I would rather deal with them than him any day of the week. He can hurt you in places you could never get hurt. Not that he would, but I know he can. And I'm like, you know, the fear of God to me is a totally different thing than it is to most people. My fear of him is not, he's going to kill me. My fear is I don't want to upset. I don't want to displease him. I want to make him happy. I want to make him glad that I'm his son, that I'm a son of God. I want him to be glad about me. I want him to smile and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want him to say, come on, Mike, you can do it. Get up, man. I want all the angels in heaven to say, Mike, get up. You can do it. Don't lay down there. If you get knocked down, you know what you do? You get back up. Seven times, man. He says, you get knocked down seven times. You get back up. Just get back up. You say, what is all this? This is trying to encourage you. This has been a weird year. I don't know about you. I don't care who becomes president of the United States. It doesn't bother me one bit. I have my preference. But if that don't work out, this world's been through a lot worse. And it can go. It's getting ready to get to a lot worse than what it's going to get with either one of them. We didn't get Hillary. That was good. it could have been a lot worse earlier, but it wasn't. So we're okay. But you ever listen to that stuff? Hillary was supposed to win. Senator Hillary, I'll give her the benefit of all that. 100 million to 1. Usually it's 50 million and 50 million, maybe 52 million and 51 million, 53, whatever. And the guy or lady becomes president of the United States or whatever. So they figured she was going to get all of it and Donald Trump was going to only be the arrogant person that votes for herself and it would be 100 million to 1. And he won. And for 4 years, now he's not a holy man. I know that. But for 4 years, the news media has constantly tried to nail him. I was in the United States Navy. I got top secret clearances out my nose. I've got every probably check off that you could possibly have. And I'm sitting there going, there's no possible way that the FBI, CIA, NIS, the ABC, CBS, all the rest of them could not have found something on this man if he'd done something wrong. They found nothing. And yet it still scared the bejeebies out of everybody on this planet. He's a terrible man. I'm like, where do you get that at? I mean, is there like a fact? Somebody told me that I need to listen to Adrian Rogers. I probably do because I could be much nicer and calmer, like Brother Reagan said. If I could just get a little calmer down there and just tell everybody about Jesus. And that's Joel Osteen. That's not Adrian. Adrian Rogers is a good preacher. He is. He said something the other day. He goes, I was listening to one of his sermons. He goes, truth. He said, if you get a hold of truth, truth is better than facts because facts can change. You get facts today that would be a fact today, but 10 years from now, some other information added to it would change that fact and it would change to something else. But if truth is always constant, never changes. You know what Jesus Christ is? He's constant. He's never changed. And he never will change. Facts will change. Facts are relative to where you're at in life. And today, though, that fact that was back there may be completely different because of other things which would negate that fact and you'd have other facts. But he goes, you know, if you get a hold of a truth, it'll change your life. Amen. You know, 1980, I got a hold of a truth. His name was Jesus Christ. Right. I'm the truth, the way, and life. He changed my life. I have never been the same before. And what he's trying to tell me all the way through my 40 years so far is, Mike, this world's going to try to discourage you. Don't let it. This world is going to try to cause you not to trust in me. Don't let it. This world is going to try to overcome you with fear. Don't let it. There's a lady behind our church. And her son, he's about this big. I'm serious, he's about this big. And they got a fenced-in yard, and I was talking to him. They had a dog, and Mike Stahl, the guy at our church, was reaching over the fence to pet the dog. And the lady came out. This house isn't any bigger than this pulpit. I mean, this house is 20 by 20 with a basement under. I mean, it's like a dinky little house. And she goes, don't you know there's a pandemic going on? I'm like, there is? I said, Mike, there's a pandemic. Don't touch that dog, you'll give it the pandemic. I mean, COVID, whatever the pandemic is. And she slammed the door, went back inside. I didn't mean to be mean to her, but I'm thinking, you know, I watch people, the fear. I think there is a thing called COVID-19. I think there is. I think people are getting sick, and I think some people are dying with it. But when I look at numbers, which I got an analytical mind, in our country, it's 340, 50 million people, and they say 200,000 people died. That's not good. That could have been your family. I'm not saying that. 250,000 compared to 350 million is a very, very small number. Very small. But you listen to the news media, just like Donald Trump and all the rest of them, well, you know what they're going to do? Scare you to death. They're going to scare you and scare you and scare you. I'm like, no, my God's greater than that. I said, if I'm going to get that bug, I'm going to get it. Whether I got, you know, I heard the doctor today say, well, the mask really don't do you any good. I'm sorry to tell you all that. The bug go right through it. It is a little bitty, teeny, weeny, itty, bitty thing. And it goes right through it, and you suck it down your throat, and you get COVID. So you're wearing a mask to make somebody happy. I don't know, maybe to get your, because maybe they thought we all needed Listerine or something. I have no idea. If you smelled your breath long enough, maybe you would do something about it. I don't know what to. Amen. But I mean, doctor after doctor, they're fighting back and forth. I'm like, Lord, this world, you can't trust them. I said, but I can trust you. And fear comes in, and I can just say, no, 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 I'm not going to let it get there. I'm not going to let it get there. Get us to depend on something else. He tells me, he says, like he says, I'll tell you what, he made me sick when he said, come out. He goes, come again. And I will take you, let me find the verse, where Rabshakeh is telling me, he says, beware of lest Hezekiah, it's in here somewhere. Is it 18? No. But he's telling him he's going to bring him out and take him to a land better than theirs. There's no land better than what Jesus gives you. The world will sit there and says, I got something better. No, that doesn't have nothing better for us. The best thing you ever got was Jesus Christ the day you got saved, and you got a heavenly home after that, and you don't, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond, I don't belong here. He's just keeping me here for some reason, I don't know. When I get to heaven, he'll tell me, he'll let me know that. I like David. You know what? There's a cure. I call this Rabshakeh-itis. There's a cure for Rabshakeh-itis. Whoa, trust me, trust us, do this, do that. No, I'm tired of trusting everybody. I want to trust my Bible. I like my Bible. My Bible, you know, when I read this thing, it still today, 40 years later, talks to me. And it still tells me, Mike, you're still messed up today as you were back then. I said, yeah. I said, I told you on that back porch, and me and you, I told you you were getting the worst end of this deal. I said, have you ever forgot that conversation? Remember we talked on, did you ever talk to Sky God? I used to talk to him all the time. I just thought he talked back. I didn't let somebody tell me he didn't. So I just talked to him. I said, Lord, I said, you know I'm wicked and you know I'm no good and you know I'm not worth shooting and I'll never become nothing. I said, but if you want me, I'll take you because you're this good deal. I like good deals. This is a really good deal. I get you and you get me and I don't know why you would want that. But I sure do want that. And I smoked pot up to that night. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I went out there, woke me up in the middle of the night, and I went out there. I had pot all over my house. I had long hair, and I was a druggie, and whiskey sours, and Jack Daniel, and Maker's Mark all over my house. And I smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. And 3 weeks later, I went over to see my uncle. Something happened. I realized I hadn't done drugs in 3 weeks. I'm like, something happened, man. What happened? I'm sitting there looking at this guy. What'd you do? You did something up there. What'd you do? I said, something happened. This is not normal. And I start bawling my eyeballs out. And a load just completely lifts off. I mean, just completely gone. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I just knew that, hey, this God that I just found is greater than anything I had up to these 22 years, going on 23. It's the best. I said, this is what I want. You know what? We need to get in our minds just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah had to get in his mind that I gotta do something here. I'm not going to give in to this, but I need some help. David told this. He said in 1 Samuel 17, everybody knows David and Goliath, the story. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and stave and with spear and with shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, man, if we ever get to the place where we just say, look, if the Lord takes me out, I told the Lord, I said, I'll never get married. I'll never have a wife. I'll never be able to have a wife because I'll never find a girl on the face of this planet that can put up with me. And I said, I know I won't. I said, that she don't exist. She cannot exist on this planet. I had a list that went like this, a mile high, and it folded and folded and folded and folded and folded and all over the place. And I said, I'll never find one. First of all, if she's this, she won't want this. So I just gave up. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you desires of your heart. Then all of a sudden, I started talking to the Lord. I said, no, wait a second. I said, if you give me the desires of my heart, and my heart is wicked, like Jeremiah says. See, you got a Bible sitting in front of you, tell you this stuff. I said, if he gives me the desire of my heart, and my heart's wicked above, I said, then you're going to give me something bad. And I said, and I don't want nothing bad. I said, but wait a minute. Have you ever tried to figure God out? I mean, it's really complicated because he can like do anything. And I'm thinking, Lord, if you think I need something bad to straighten out some kinks in my armor, I said, then that's what I need. I said, I know how to pray now. I bowed my head on that bed. And I said, Lord, you give me whatever you want me to have and I'll take it. I said, Lord, I want what you want, not what I want. You know what Hezekiah was trying to get here is to a place in his life where he was giving God what he wanted and not what Hezekiah wanted. And sometimes it's just hard to get there. And you got to go through that thing. And this, I think 2020 is one of those years that helps us get a little bit closer. If you want to get closer, this is the perfect time in life to do it. Because everything is going haywire and blitzo and crazy and nuts. And if Trump doesn't get in, the world's going to fall apart. It was pretty bad when Carter was in too. I don't think Nixon had it right. Back in Kennedy's day, you had the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they're getting ready to blow the world up. I mean, there's a lot of time. World War II wasn't really the greatest thing in the world. 50 million people died. That's a whole far cry higher than 200,000 with COVID in our country. When you start looking, World War I wasn't really good either. So when you start looking back, the news media builds this thing up in our mind, and I think sometimes, hey, I like to listen to the weather. It's going to rain, and it never does. They always say all this stuff happens. I've never found much of anything they've ever said that's true. But boy, when I come to the Bible, I find nothing but truth.
Amen.
And David finishes, I'll have to hurry here, says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Yep. You know, we need to get to the place where we believe that God is actually going to do what he says do.
That's right.
I've been working on a church for 13 years. He walked me around this building, and somebody showed me this building, the one we got down there in Dayton. I mean, it was a mess, man. This is glorious compared to what we started with. This is uptown, man. I mean, this is nice. The city thought I was going to tear it down. And I mean, it was no heaters, no furnaces, no air conditioning, no sewer, no water, no toilets. I mean, I had a toilet, one little toilet. I had two old ladies leave the church because of that bathroom. And I'm sitting there, man, it's crazy stuff. And I'm walking around this building, just me and the Lord just walking, the Holy Spirit just walking around. And I'm like, this place is messed up. And he goes, yeah, it is. He says, can you do it? I'm like, yeah, I can do it. He goes, you sure you can do it? I said, yeah. I knew he was going to supply all the needs, and he has. He goes, but are you going to do it? I'm like, yeah, I can do it. He goes, are you sure? I said, yes. You know, we're just about done. I mean, maybe in a couple months, we will be done. Be a couple little things, maybe paint on the wall, a few little things like that. 13 years. You know, sometimes the Lord looks down and he tells you what to do. And you know what he's done? I was thinking the other day, I said, thank God. I said, you gave me something to do for 13 years. I said, what's going to happen when this is over? Can I have like something else to do for like the rest of my life so that I don't get in trouble? That's what I was thinking. I said, man, he gave me something. You know, if you focus down on just what he told you to do and just do what he told you to do. You know, I think he gave you a wife. If he gave you a wife, first of all, I think he gave you salvation. If he gave you salvation, don't let nobody talk you out of it. Just forget it. If they're going to talk me out of Jesus, you can just get out of my face and go away. Leave me alone. I don't need to hear anything about you telling me about Jesus. I know enough about Jesus in this book, and one day I'm going to know everything about him. I don't need anybody to tell me that he's not what I think he is. Just leave me alone. Let me dream. I'm happy. Don't wake me up. I might be in a nightmare. I don't want a nightmare, man. Just let me sleep. But I'm sitting down here going through this thing, and I'm watching him do his thing, and I'm watching him say, don't let him. I got salvation. It took him 9 years before he introduced me to my wife. I waited 9 years. I just thought there was never any way that I would ever find a wife. And what I realized after the 9 years is he was working some things out of my life that I needed to get out of my life. And when he got him out of my life, when he got him out of my life, he introduced me to Beth, and she actually thought I was a Christian. You know, what a thing, man. In my mind, I never thought that that would ever happen. And even at that moment, I didn't think that would ever happen. And I'm looking at her like she's the queen, man. I mean, she's the prettiest thing that ever existed in life. And the Lord, and you know what I loved? I threw that whole list away. I really did. I threw it all away because me and her, she felt sorry for me in Dayton, Ohio. And I was like a sailor out of water, a fish out of water. And I was up there with somebody else, and they didn't want me around. And she felt sorry for me, so she was taking me around Dayton. I'm glad she felt sorry for me. I need somebody to feel sorry for me. I need anybody to feel sorry for me anymore is good. But when you sit there and look at it, and we started talking, and I was walking with Dan, Lord said, hey, stupid, what about this one? I'm like, are we supposed to be like friends? I thought we were supposed to hate each other or something. I said, all marriages end up in divorce, right? But she's a good girl. I mean, she's like fun to be with. And she thought I was fun to be with. And what I realized, the Lord says, is anything too hard for me? Because Mike, I told you I could find you one. I've been working on her just as long as I've been working on you. You know what God wants to do is work on us. He's got Hezekiah sitting here, and he's got Rabshakeitis is out there, and he's trying to get it. And then he tells Isaiah, and he sends his messenger to Isaiah, and Isaiah sends back and tells him what the Lord's going to do. But then Rabshakeh sends Hezekiah another note. And here's really where I want to get the message. Isaiah encourages and strengthens Hezekiah to pray, and it worked. You know what a church is? This is a place where we come to get encouraged and lifted up. But we got to grow. We got to grow. And sometimes this world is always pushing you down and pushing you down and pushing you down. My God can do anything that he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it. If he can speak a universe. I was telling you about that Space Hubble telescope a little while ago. I didn't get the rest of that. I was always wondering how they did it, and they said they focused the beam down of the telescope, and they looked off to a star, and then they went off into a black space, and then they shot out further than the light to get the light out of the lens. And when they did, they said if this is true, there's hundreds of millions of galaxies out there. And they started showing them. Hundreds of millions. Anywhere you look, there's just beyond our Milky Way, is just hundreds of millions. The typical person would think of that and say, well, there can't be a God, it's too big. I look at it and say, man, he's bigger than I thought. I'm like, I said, if he knows, if there's hundreds of millions, if not billions of galaxies, and in each galaxy is hundreds and millions, if not billions of stars, and he knows everyone by name, does he not know me? We sang a song, he knows my name. Oh, he knows my name. My name is on his lips, man. Yours is too. If he can name all the stars, then on this little planet out in the middle of this universe that he spoke into being is a little country called the United States. And in the United States tonight is a meeting on Friday night, and it's a bunch of young people and old people and all kinds of people that just want to love Jesus and just get through another year with Jesus. If we have to get through this year and another year and another year and get through with a smile on our face, you know what he wants to do? He says, trust me. You know what Rabshakeh wants to do is get you not to. This is what I like. Chapter 17, verse 14. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter, another letter, from the hand of his messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed. He didn't ask Isaiah this time. You know what he did? He went right. He bypassed the middleman. He took his letter. He went right up here. He laid it down here. Have you ever had your Bible in your hand, just read your Bible to God? Said, hey, this is what you said. This is what you said. I didn't say this. You said that. I said, Lord, I am no good and I'm wicked. And you know I'm wicked, but that's irrelevant. You gave me 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgives us our sins and cleanses from all. I've already tried that and used it, and I believe it. I said, but you said this right here. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake you. Or you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And you said this and you said this. Hezekiah starts reading that letter to him. And he doesn't quit. And the Lord says, because Isaiah sends him a note. He says, because, down in verse 21, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you know what I'd like to have is a letter from God. I think I got one. I really do, man. It's right here. For this people heart is wax gross. I said, I don't want to be that man. You ever read that? For this, that's over in Isaiah 50, or that's in St. Matthew 13. I don't want my heart waxed gross. God says, don't let it wax gross. He said, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah. He hadn't even been there yet. And he goes, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And then he takes him out. I said, Lord, I said, Rabshakeh can come in and he can try to discourage us. And he can try to overwhelm us. And he can try to overwhelm, get us all feared up and scared, overcome us with fear. And try to get us to accept something in this world less than what God, the very best. I think God has the very best. I've been all around the world. I have been everywhere. Not everywhere, but I got to go to the Ukraine. I got to go to home, Romania, Hungary. I've been in France, Germany. I brought my wife over to France, and we went up through Germany, me and her, just running around on trains, having a fun time. I've been through the Suez Canal. I've been right where the Red Sea split. I don't know exactly where it split, but I went through the whole thing. So somewhere I went across where it split. I'm hoping it was the deepest part, the furthest out, the widest part. That's just what I think my God can do. I think he goes, pfft. You know, really, if you think about it, all he asked Moses to do was carry a stick. Can you carry a stick tonight? That's really all we have to do, brother, is carry a stick and just trust the one who gave you the stick. That's it. That is it. You know what this world wants to do is tell you that, no, we're in charge. They're not in charge. They have no control. The Lord has got a plan. It's in place. It's happening. And I just want to be in his plan, and I'm waiting for the day that trumpet goes off, and out of here I go. And I may take my last breath. I may live another 10 years, and some of you are going to take over. And when you do, you know what you need to do? You need to believe that Jesus Christ can still do for you today what he did for Hezekiah back then. He can still do for us today. He's still the God of gods and King of kings. The world has not met him yet. We have met him. Do you know him? Father, thank you for your blessings tonight.